All right, so we need our kids up here. And as a motivator, I'm going to leave it up here after we get done. All right. So what we're going to be talking about today in the sermon itself is keeping promises and then relying on promises. We all need that. Life is hard. And so when people make promises or things make promises or we make promises and we don't carry through with them, it's hard on us. Okay, but we're going to see that. So let's just say, I'm going to open this thing up. Hey, Noah. Okay, let's just say this is your expectations. Okay, this is, I really want things to go a certain way, and I have this maybe sometimes rose-colored glasses view of what life is supposed to be like, and I make promises, and people make promises to me, and I got this expectations, and I want life to be sweet. Okay. And so.
Don't lift the scissors around.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, don't run. I could poke my eye out. Good job. All right, so a friend says to you, can you come with me to the mall? And you think, I want to go to the mall. I'm a mall rat. I'd like to go. And then they call and they say, oh, I'm so sorry. I forgot you. And some of my expectations were taken away. And then your parents say, you need this thing, or you want this thing for dinner. And they say, oh, I'll pick it up on my way home from work at the store. And then they get busy and they forget. And your expectations are not met once again. And then your parents say, hey, and spring break, we're going to drive you to Disneyland in the car. And then the car breaks down. And we find out that the world is full of stuff that isn't going to work out the way we want because stuff breaks. People break, we break. Then you order a book from Amazon that you need for this report that you're going to turn in, and it's got a deadline, and Amazon says for sure it's going to be there on the day you need it, and guess what? It doesn't show up. And your expectations are getting smaller and smaller. Yeah, that's right. You get an F on your test. Well, you can blame Amazon. Yeah. Instead of the dog ate my homework, Amazon didn't show up with the book. Okay, and then here's one for yourself. You promise yourself, I know I need to get up on time to go to school. I promise myself that I am going to work hard to get up on time. And then your favorite show is on and you get your tablet from your mom and dad and watch it under the covers. And you don't get up on time. Okay. And so that's what our expectations look like. That's what our ability to keep promises and have others keep promises, that is what it's like. And if we were relying on that from God, we would be in big trouble. Okay. But God makes promises to us, and he never once fails. He says this in Numbers, chapter 23, verse 19. God is not man that he should lie, or a son of man that he should change his mind. Has he said anything and not done it? Or has he spoken and not fulfilled it? And the answer, those are rhetorical questions. They're called rhetorical questions. And what that means is, of course we know the answer. And the answer is, God never does those things. God never lies. God never changes his mind. God never says he's going to do something and doesn't do it. And so here's this, and things come up, and God makes a promise, and things like, and God says, I'm stronger than those problems. And something else happens, and no, because we cannot lose our expectations with God. So God's made us some promises, and you're going to hear about these later, so pay attention, you out there. He will never let you fall away or anyone take you away. That's from John 10, 26 and 27. He says, if you believe in Jesus, you will never die. And what he means, not physically die, but you will never die, eternally die, because eternal death is separation from God. And so we know that God's making us that promise, and Jesus is saying these things. If you believe in Jesus, you can find peace in this life. Now, I know you guys probably think that's probably not a big deal. You'd rather have licorice, but peace is a big thing, especially when you get older, all right? God promises we'll have peace if we believe in Jesus, that it's available to us. It says if you believe in Jesus and you follow him, you can bear much fruit. Now, that doesn't mean your arms are going to grow into limbs and you're going to have leaves coming out and then fruit. What it means is you will be able to do what God is asking you to do because he will be with you, right? These are wonderful promises, you guys. And then the last one, if you believe in Jesus, you can find joy in this life. Okay. So that's all really important stuff. And so we know that when those things, if we were saying, I'm putting my confidence that I can find those things myself or from other people or in this world that's broken, you're going to lose every time. But with God, very clearly, it tells us there in Numbers, nothing he says doesn't come true. Okay. So you're going to need times when you rely on something, okay? You can rely on something. Sometimes you can rely on school. Sometimes you can rely on Amazon. Sometimes you can rely on your parents not to forget, you know, to bring home the ice cream on their way home from work. Sometimes you can count on your car is going to work, but sometimes you can't. But with God, you can always count on him. And he makes those promises, and those are some biggies. Now, they're going to hear about that in a minute. Now, so here I'm going to give you some. Okay, right? Careful with the scissors. Yeah, there we go. Okay, now, moms and dads, they get to choose. I'm going to hope you can choose these. Now, these are wrapped up ones. These are Twizzlers. So you guys get to pick whichever one you want. Okay, I like these. Now, I'm going to leave it open, sitting here. No, just one. And you guys can come up and have some later if you want. Okay, and when you get it, go ahead and sit down. You can pick whichever one you want. All right. How about you, Wesley? Which one do you want, buddy? You want one of those? You got to go take it to your mama, okay? Well, I hope I didn't get myself in trouble with giving kids candy. All right, so God repeats his plan for Abram. This has been an ongoing story with God calling Abram. And God has these marvelous, marvelous plans to use this man. But guess what, folks? He's just a man. And he's broken, exactly the same way you and I are broken. And because he's broken, he falls prey to the same kinds of things that you and I fall prey to. And so we're going to look at that and we're going to see what happened with Abram when God calls him to be the father of a nation, the father of the Jewish family, the chosen people, and give him this enormous piece of land as his inheritance and say and promise to him. And then you think, oh, well, what does Abram do? Why would he respond like that? And I've already given you the hint. Why? Because he's broken just like you and I. So we're going to see, first of all, what did God promise? And what did God ask Abram? So we're going to go back. We'll go back in Genesis a little bit here. And so in Genesis 12, 1 through 3. That was good. Now the Lord said to Abram, go from your house in your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. So what is God telling Abram to do? What is it? Go. Go, leave your house, leave your family, go to a land that I will show you. So is that probably a little scary? You know, we're after the flood a few centuries. Here's Abram. He's living over here in this area of the Ur of the Chaldeans. He's living there with his father. He's got family around him. He feels pretty safe. And God is saying, no, I have a plan for your life. I want you to go. And I want you to go to a land that I'm going to show you. Has he seen it yet? No. Does he know if it's good or bad? No. He's being told to go. So does it require a little bit of faith to say, okay, well, God, again, we don't know exactly how it was God communicated, but God communicated this very clearly because otherwise we wouldn't have quotations. So there was some words spoken somewhere that said, God very clearly, go from your country and leave your family and go to this land that I am going to show you. And then he's going to tell him and make him some promises based on what he's asking Abram to do. Okay, so here are the promises. Write them down. Okay, I will make a great nation of you. I will make a great nation of you. Have God ever promised you that? No, not me either, but he's made me some promise we're going to look at later. But this is a pretty big one. I am going to make a great nation of you. I mean, maybe when you're little, you think, oh, I want to be president of the United States and pretty cool, you know, that would be. But to start an entire country on your own, it's a pretty big promise. I will bless you. I will bless you. And I will make your name great. I will bless you and make your name great. I am going to give you good things, and I'm going to make you basically famous. Rich and famous. Be rich and famous. Lifestyles of the rich and famous. Those are some big promises. And then he says, I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing. So I'm going to not only bless you, but I'm going to make you a blessing. People are going to say, wow, that Abram, man, he's a cool guy. I'm glad he's in my life. Look at him. Look what he can do. And then it says, I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse those who curse you, basically. And in you, all the families of the earth will be blessed. So there's two blessings there, two promises. One of them says, I'm going to bless you, and I'm going, not only that, but I'm going to bless those who bless you. Wow, if people are nice to you, I'm going to be nice to them. So this is going to be pretty obvious pretty quickly. Being a friend of Abram is a good deal, man. Because God is saying, if they bless you, I'm going to bless them. And then he says, all the families of the earth are going to be blessed. Now, what's that talking about? Because, no, he's basically saying, now, we don't know this, and maybe Abram doesn't know it for sure, but what we can see in hindsight, looking back at Scripture, is what he's saying is, through you, through your seed, Abram, through your seed, I'm going to produce the Messiah. Okay? So he's promised, now, maybe he doesn't understand it, maybe he doesn't see the implications of that last one altogether, but what he is saying here, what God is saying is, through you, through your line, I'm eventually going to produce the Savior of the world. So those are a lot of promises. Okay, so we got this one thing, leave, go, do what I tell you, and then here's five promises, right? There are five promises. I'll make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great. I will make you a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, curse those who curse you, and all the families of the world will be blessed because of you. So one thing, leave, and then five great promises of God. Okay, so you think, is that a pretty good deal? Got one thing to do, five really cool things, I mean big time things. So if you were Abram, and you did go, but so what would you? How would you respond? What do you think? Well, we've already talked about this, so you kind of know how he actually responded, right? We're not going to go through back all of it, but I'll give you the scripture references. In Genesis 11:31, God tells him to go. In fact, we read later on in scripture that he was actually given this call clear back in the Ur of the Chaldeans. Okay. Did he leave right away? No. He waited. Like, I don't know, God. How many of you have ever felt like God calling you to do something? You think, ah, man, just too busy, or I don't think I want to go. I'll find some excuse. Sure. We all do that. And so he waits. And then in Genesis chapter 12, verse 10, he's afraid of starving. So he goes into this thing, into this new place. So he goes, well actually, that happens before that. He goes up about halfway and stops, doesn't he? He goes from the Ur of the Chaldeans up to Haran with his dad, and God says, no, I want you to come back down. If I could show you the map, you'd see there's mountain ranges on both sides, and he's going to go up there and go down the middle. But he goes up to Haran with his father, which he didn't leave his father. He waited for dad to go with him. And Lot, And he's not too sure, evidently. And he's got all, God's made all these really cool promises and told him, I just got one thing to do. Just go up here, go back down, look at the land I'm giving you. And he goes up there and he waits. And finally, his dad, I don't know, does it say in Scripture if God actually caused the death of his father? But if that was the thing that was holding Abram back, God opened the door and said, okay, well, your father passed away, so now go. And he finally does go, but he's not too sure of himself, and he doesn't really do it the way God wants or in the timing that God wants. So then he goes into this land, and he's going through it, and there's a famine, and so he's afraid he's going to die. So fear, the fear of starving. So what does he do? Does he go to God and say, God, there's no food, but you told me this is where you wanted me to be, so I'm just going to trust you to make sure that I have food, because you've already told me you're going to bless me. You already told me I'm going to have descendants and all that, so you must be able to take care of me. And does he do that? No, he doesn't. He leaves. He says, no, I'm getting out of Dodge. There's no food here. I don't like it. I'm afraid. I'm going to die. And so he goes to Egypt. Now, he has this problem. And so he lies. He's got the problem. He's got this really, really beautiful wife. And I'm going to go there. And these people, they don't know me. They're from a different country. They're in Egypt. And the leader of this country, the Pharaoh, if he sees my wife or somebody tells him about my wife, they're going to kill me and take her. And so here, Sarah, actually Sarai then, here's what I want you to do. Tell him you're my sister. Then they won't kill me. And so sure enough, some of Pharaoh's people must have spotted her and said, hey, Pharaoh, check this out. And he goes, she becomes Pharaoh's wife. And so here's Abram, given this task from God and all these promises, and what does he do? He lies, and he cheats, and he forgets, and he's afraid. And so what's God's, let's say we got to read through the rest of it. No, to read through the rest of this. And so what is God's response? Now, what do you think God's response should be? I gave you this task. I made you all these promises. I mean big time promises. You didn't perform very well, Abram, but guess what? I have this marvelous plan for your life, and it's going to include some amazing things. And you're going to be one of the great heroes of the faith. You're going to be known for the rest of eternity. You're in the Bible. He doesn't tell him that, but he is in the Bible. So God, even though he knew, and God foresaw all of this before it happened, God sees the beginning from the end, and so he knew when he asked or commanded Abram to go and do what he wanted him to do, that he wasn't going to do it right. I'll say, do you think, and we're going to get to this pretty soon, do you think that's any different in your life? Do you think God has a plan for you? He had a plan for Abram. Has he got a plan for you? Did he tell you? Did he come and say, Tim, I would like you to stop being in the cabinet business and come be a pastor? Nope. But eventually I got the idea. But we're going to see some things that God does tell us. Okay, so what was God's response? Well, eventually Abram gets it. He becomes the father of the chosen people. Not without incident, however, as we see with taking on the servant of his wife to create a new child. But he does become the father of the Jewish nations. He's willing to sacrifice his son Isaac, and he becomes a great hero of the faith. So God uses this broken man who wasn't very obedient and very faithful and used him anyway. Okay, so the Lord said to Abram, now, this is God's response. After all the things Abram has not done right, and God says to Abram, now remember last time, Abram came down, but he came with his nephew Lot, right? And they had gone down into Egypt, and they got really rich from selling off his wife and got all this stuff that they gave him to get out of Dodge there. And he goes back. He finally says, okay, God, I'm willing to go back. And he goes back, and they make an altar. And then they come to this place, and there's too many sheep and people for them to stay together. It's just there's so much stuff. He is carrying around so much stuff. And so many animals, because that's what their wealth was, mostly animals and stuff that they had to carry with them. And so there's not enough room, and we're having problems, and their herdsmen are fighting with these guys' herdsmen. And so Abram says, look, we got to split up here. And he goes to this mountain, and he looks out, and he says, okay, you give me what you want, Lot. I'll give you first pick. Was that God's plan? No, he said, Abram, I'm giving this to you. Who do you think you are? What makes you think you own this? What makes you think you can offer this to someone else, even though it may be a generous offer? What makes you think that I have given this to you so that you could decide what you want to do with it? And Abram slips into man thinking instead of God thinking. He says, here, Lot, I'll be a nice guy. Tell me what you want. Just take a look. And he gives, and Lot says, Lot's no dummy. He says, here's this valley that between these two mountain ranges, and there's a river there, and man, it's nice. I'll take that one. So Lot goes. And we see here in verse 14, the Lord said to Abram, after Lot had separated from him. Now this is God, right, talking. Again, I'm thinking literally, talking to Abram. Lift up your eyes, dude. Look out from the place which you are. Look north, south, east, and west. And all the land that you see, I'm going to give to you. Not Lot. You and your offspring forever. I will make your offspring as the dust of the earth, so that if one can count the dust of the earth, your offspring could also be counted. Basically saying, look, you have so many people coming out of you, making this great nation, you won't even be able to count them. So arise and walk the length and the breadth of the land, for I will give it to you. So Abram moved his tent, came and settled by the oaks of Mamre, which are at Hebron, and there he built an altar to the Lord. Okay. So God had given Abram this job. Abram had choked pretty regularly on it. God was going to use him anyway, and he takes him. So why do you think that God is reiterating or reminding him of the promises? Why do you think? Because Abram is broken just like us, and he has the same problems. He gives into his fear. He gives into his selfishness. He gives into his man thinking. He has no faith at times. And that's exactly who we are. And so God does this. He says, I am going to bring you back to the reality of your situation, Abram. So you've come down here. You've hardly ever done anything I asked the way I asked it. But now I'm going to reset you. I'm going to say, look, I'm going to bring you back to the reality. And I am going to repeat the promises that I'm making you, because you need to get a new perspective on your life. And so here's the deal. Look around. All of it is going to belong to you. Not Lot, not other people. There's going to be people living there. We're going to take care of them later, except that they don't, because they aren't obedient to God. But anyway, God could have done it if man would have done his part, which they didn't. But God says, look, I'm giving you this stuff. You need to rethink. I've watched you through your life, and you have not done it my way, and you have not been obedient, and you've not been faithful, and you've been afraid when you shouldn't have been afraid, and you didn't make the decisions I asked you to make. And you didn't have faith when I needed you to have faith. And guess what? That's all of us. So do we also at times in our life, if we go back and we reflect and say, God, did God make us or give us some commands? Take a look. Just like Abram, here are God's commands to us. And he says to him, love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. This is the great and first commandment, and the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Okay. God didn't say to me, or you, go to another city, and I will make a great nation of you. But what did he say to me and you? Love me with all you have. Love your neighbor as yourself. Now, that's a pretty big command. And I got to say, I haven't done it all the way God wanted. Okay? I haven't done it all. And if this is, what is it called? What's this called? You can tell me. The greatest commandment. It's called the greatest commandment, right? They ask him, what's the greatest commandment? And Jesus responds, he says, this is it. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul, and all your strength. It's in other books, other gospels, they add some other things. And this is the greatest command. The second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. Man, if that's it, if that's all God had given us, that's pretty much a life thing, right? I mean, I could do this for the rest of my life and still be working on it. Okay, so this is a big one. God's not saying, okay, go up and go back down into the promised land, but he is saying this, love me with everything you have. And then love your neighbor as yourself. I'm still working on it, so are you. What else might God have told us? Now, I'm going to be, I intentionally picked all these things from the words of Jesus Christ. Okay, these are all written in red in the Gospels because, you know, like God talked to Abram, and it's written down, this is God, Jesus, talking directly to us, just like he did with Abram. See, he says, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever will lose his life for my sake will save it. Okay, another command. Is this a biggie? Denying yourself. Denying yourself. We talk about this all the time. Denying yourself, take up your cross and follow me. And even if it means you die for me, it'll be the greatest thing you ever did. So it's piling up, isn't it? Like, oh man, these are some pretty difficult expectations you've got there, God. You want me to love you and love others, like put myself after that. I'm denying myself. Take up my cross, which means I got to do your will instead of my will. And lose my life if necessary, but I will save it. And then he has this one. Go therefore, this again, right out of the mouth of Jesus. Go therefore and make disciples. Go therefore and make disciples. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, and behold, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. So that's got a couple commands, but also has a promise at the bottom there. I'm with you always, with you always. Okay, so then we're looking at some pretty tough things, right? Love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. Love other people. You know, go and make disciples. All these things are hard for us to understand. And even harder to do. And so here we are. We kind of are like Abram, right? And so what do we need to do? Do we need a reset like Abram? God says, look, I know you're not able to do this the way I'm asking you, but I'm going to set you up on the mountain, and I'm going to bring you back to reality, and I'm going to give you another shot at these promises, and I'm going to tell you what I am going to do to help you be grounded in my will instead of your own. Now, with all the things that are going on, do you think we have problems with all of the same things that Abram had problems with? Yeah. Are we afraid, and does it affect our ability to deal with life in a godly way? Yes. Are we unfaithful at times that help or keep us from really doing God's will instead of our own? Yeah. Are we selfish sometimes where we want to do our plan instead of God's plan? Yes. And so do we need a reset? You know, sometimes the reset, and that's one of the reasons why we come here. It's one of the reasons why God groups us together and saves us into the family of God instead of just as individuals. I mean, he saves us as individuals, but he saves us into the family of God because we need each other sometimes to bring each other back to the reality of, I know life is hard, but guess what? God has some amazing things for us. And when the times get hard, we need to think about those things so that we can get back to the reality of who we really are as Christians, that our eternal destiny is secure, that God has us safely in his hands, that even though, yes, we're going through trials now, God is always there. Okay, so I gave you the promises. We're going to look at them again because we need them. My sheep hear my voice, it says in John 27 through 29. And I know them and they will follow me and I give them eternal life. See, that's our eternal destiny. He says, like, I know them and they're going to know me and they have eternal life because of that, and they shall never, ever perish. And not anyone shall pluck them out of my hand. So what is he saying? He's saying, if you belong to God, if you're mine, nothing can get you out of my hand. And then it says, my Father who gave them to me is greater than everyone, and no one is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. And so we have this, just, we know our eternal destiny is secure. And so when life is really hard, we can go to this promise, just like Abram. God gave him the promises again so he could reinstate himself into the reality of his situation. So we need to sometimes go to this one and say, okay, God, I know life is hard, but I know where I'm going. It was part of the memorial yesterday. I could celebrate the life of Pete, even though his life really stunk, especially at the end, because I know where he was going. We had that conversation. What other promises? So Jesus says to Mary, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. For everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. So what is this telling us? Okay, we have, again, this eternal destiny that we are going to die. Life is going to be hard. Things are going to break down. But guess what? If you live and believe in me, you're going to exist eternally with me in heaven. And hopefully that gets us through some of the really, really difficult times in our life so we can go back to the promises of God and get a reset to help us when we're struggling with the things that human beings are struggling with all the time because we're broken. Even if we're saved, even if we have the Holy Spirit, there are parts of us, it says in Scripture, that are still broken. And so God is constantly working on us, but we need the reassurance of his promises to ground ourselves back to the reality of who we really are and what God's really done for us. It says here in John 14, 27, peace I leave with you, my peace I give you, not as the world gives, because we know it won't follow through, but I give it to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, nor either let them be afraid. See, God is saying, look, you guys don't need to be afraid. And regardless of the circumstances, peace has been made available to you. You have to kind of live outside your circumstance. You have to kind of go inside and say, look, the outside is telling me everything in this world is hard and painful and can't be counted on, but I can go inside to my Holy Spirit and say, God, I need some peace, and it's not happening out here. I need it from inside. And God says, it's always available for you right there. I give my peace to you. And he paid a price to give it. A big price, the one we're going to be talking about next Sunday. It cost God everything to make peace available in this life for his children. And then his last promises, I am the vine and you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, it's he that is bearing much fruit, for apart from me, you can do nothing. And so we're thinking, okay, God, you've given me all these things to do and these hard, hard commands to think about loving people more than myself and giving up my own will for yours and all that stuff. And it's hard to bear that kind of fruit on my own. He says, guess what? On your own, you can do nothing. But I am the vine. See, I'm the vine. And you're the branches. I'm not trying to get you to fix yourself. I'm in there and I'm going to fix you. And if you will just, you can bear much fruit if you just rely on me to do it. You can find those things. And then here in verse 24 of John 16, until you, now you've asked for nothing in my name. Ask now and you will receive that your joy may be full. So he's telling them, this was actually Jesus speaking to his disciples. And he was telling them, look, you can depend on me. Ask it in my name. And I will be there. And you can have joy in the midst of great sorrow. And so here we are, and we have all these things, just like Abram. And he went through, and of course, we've all done it. We've all had the same problems Abram had. And we let God down, and we weren't consistent and we would give in to all these temptations and all of the brokenness of inside us, the fear and the selfishness. And God says, I knew all that. And guess what? I love you anyway, but let's reground yourself. Let's go back to your word. Let's give ourselves to the Holy Spirit and we can reset you. And if you need a reset, you can do it right now based on the promises that you've just heard this morning. Say, God, I need that. I need a reset. I need to reground myself in the reality of what you've done for me that has given me all access to these promises. And find the strength in that to overcome all of those other things, your fear and selfishness and human will, to find that sweetness that's in the path of God's will for your life. It's not an easy thing to do. But that's why God gave us each other. That's why God gave us His Word that has these promises in it. And that's why God gave us the Holy Spirit. So if you need a reset, those are the three things you need to count on. Let's pray. Father, we're clearly more like Abrams than Abrahams. And we still succumb to all these same issues. And Lord, we do need the reality of who we are to slap us in the face once in a while. In order to do that, we need to be in your word. We need to be with one another. And we need to rely on your Holy Spirit to deal with the brokenness in the world that we live in and the brokenness that's in us, in ourselves. So, Father, we just pray that we can find that reset when we need it. And we need it probably pretty regularly because life is hard and we're bad. And so, Lord, we just pray that you'll use this time, use these promises and others in your word to give us the confidence to move forward doing life the way you wanted, in faith, doing your will, making disciples, loving other people, loving you. We know you can do it if we'll just get out of your way. So we pray that that would be our decision today, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.